new products, end-of-life, and lifecycle management. Here we introduce product lifecycle management methodology. As part of this, we discuss development of new product introduction schedules as well as the elements commonly found in end-of-life plans. It is important to detect when a product is entering decline. Planned obsolescence is also addressed. Product lifecycle management. Product lifecycle management, PLM, is a process of managing new product introductions, managing the life cycles of products throughout their phases, and creating and executing end-of-life plans. PLM can be managed using software of the same name or can be performed using a mix of manual tools and existing systems. In addition to helping manage the product lifecycle for a type of product, PLM also has tools to help manage an individual lifecycle of a unit or a batch. PLM often includes tools to help planners with product, component, and bill of material versioning, effectivity plans, and traceability. PLM can help track products by production lot numbers or serial numbers all the way to the customer for individual units or batches. This helps enable upgrades, recalls, and reverse logistics for units or batches at any stage of production. PLM may feature a sustainability component, especially if products at the end of their lives must or should be reclaimed or recycled. PLM from a product and brand management perspective builds off of the product lifecycle stages of introduction, growth, maturity, and decline, but adds sub-steps. And some models also highlight three distinct phases: beginning of life, middle of life, and end of life. Beginning of life includes a new component of research and development plus the introduction stage. The middle of life phase encompasses growth, maturity, and decline. The end of life phase is new to the product lifecycle, but implied by it. Exhibit 3-13 shows these phases and list potential substeps in PLM. Specific substeps may vary. Exhibit 3-13, product lifecycle management. The substeps shown above contain many steps for the beginning of life phase. The middle of life phase shows how the focus area during growth starts by ensuring that manufacturing and distribution are capable and have the capacity for the demand. As the product moves into maturity, this shifts to a focus on how the product is used. The focus then shifts to service as the product enters decline. Decline also features phase-out planning or end-of-life planning. Actual phase-out ends the decline phase and the middle-of-life phase for the product and starts its end-of-life. End-of-life has no sales or profit. The organization may be involved in helping recycle the products at the end of their lives, and this could also include recovering rare or hazardous materials, remanufacturing, repurposing or selling manufacturing equipment, reassessing suppliers, and so on. New product introduction schedules. Developing a new product introduction, NPI, schedule involves mapping out and managing a product's beginning of life phase, possibly using project management. NPI is a component of the development chain, which parallels the supply chain and interacts with it at many points. In addition to NPI, the development chain may include product engineering, make or buy decisions, early supplier involvement, concurrent engineering, strategic sourcing, supplier footprint, and contracting with capable suppliers. Here are some potential phases in NPI or the development chain. Innovation. During this phase, research is conducted. This can include market research, for example, collecting and disseminating customer feedback, competitor scanning, experimentation, and invention. Concept. Research coalesces into a vision of the product/service that is vetted for customer demand and financial promise. Development, engineering, manufacturing, and other functions may work together to add detail to the concept through a number of iterations. Concurrent engineering, design for logistics, or design for the environment may be applied to ensure that the product will be cost-effective to source, make, and deliver. Prototyping. A working model of the product and related services is developed. A prototype's purposes include proving feasibility and eliciting feedback. A prototype schedule helps manage iterations of the prototype that capture feedback from both the demand side and the supply side. Demand side inputs include focus groups and market-based release deadlines. Supply side inputs include make or buy, production feasibility and cost, product architecture, for example, integrated versus modular, scalability and economies of scale plans, and capacity requirements versus current load. Engineering. Engineers develop the product structure and bills of material, including detailed drawings, tolerances, level of modularity, and manufacturing requirements. A document management system can be used to help manage configuration, versions, and collaboration efforts. Supply. Supply requirements are developed, capable suppliers are identified, and the supply footprint is mapped out. The supply footprint is the map of where suppliers need to be located and what critical characteristics, such as available capacity or specific capabilities, need to be represented in each area. It is important at this point to review supply constraints that may impact the NPI schedule, in addition to finding capable suppliers fast enough. Another supply constraint is lead time versus cost, which can be significant due to global sourcing. This differs by product type. Innovative products typically require compressed timelines to shorten time to market. Functional products tend to have low margins, making cost the primary factor. Manufacturing. While manufacturing was listed elsewhere as a middle-of-life activity, clearly manufacturing capability and capacity need to be developed earlier, at least to the degree needed for the first planned phase of demand. The manufacturing environment, process, and type and other choices are also determined. These may also be reassessed as the product goes through its life cycle and experiences changes in customer expectations and/or production volume requirements. Future demand growth may later require more investments in capacity and throughput. Launch. Marketing and sales launch the product and foster awareness of it. Note the mention above of innovative versus functional products. Different sorts of products will require different NPI frequencies and different supply chain strategies to make them work, as discussed more next. NPI frequency versus demand uncertainty. New products occupy a spectrum from innovative products at one end to functional products at the other end. Designing and managing the supply chain cites an article by Marshall Fisher, who coined the term technology clock speed. Clock speed is the rate of technology change for the given industry, market, or product. It strongly influences the duration of a product's life cycle. Innovative products have fast technology clock speeds and life cycles, while functional products have slow technology clock speeds and life cycles. Fast clock speeds require compressed NPI schedules. The product design strategy and the supply chain strategy need to align with the type of product being developed. An important supply chain factor to consider is demand uncertainty. Items with low demand uncertainty can be pushed out to the market because there is steady demand. Items with high demand uncertainty should move more toward a pull model so that only what is demanded is produced. Exhibit 3-14 compares NPI frequency to demand uncertainty, resulting in four quadrants of product types. Exhibit 3-14. NPI frequency versus demand uncertainty. As shown in the graphic, the four categories of products are as follows: unstable demand, low clock speed. The life cycle for the products is long, and the products can have an integral design, not modular. The products can be pushed to a certain point, and then demand pull can take over. This could occur by centralizing inventory and drop shipping, for example. Unstable demand, high clock speed. Due to the high rate of change and short life cycles, manufacturing highlights responsiveness over cost. Modular designs, short lead times, maintaining excess capacity, and dynamic market pricing can help ensure that supply can quickly respond to changing demands. Stable demand, low clock speed. These are staple items that have low margins and need to be produced economically and create high turnover to ensure profitability. Since these are make-to-stock items, they can have an integral design. Stable demand, high clock speed. There are few finished goods in this category, but many types of components fit in this area if enough buyers exist to keep demand stable. Due to the short product life cycles, modular designs enable variations on products. And as NPI occurs, portions of the product or component that don't need to change might be able to be used in the new version. Push manufacturing and supply chain efficiency help ensure profitability. End-of-life plan elements. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines end-of-life product management as planning for the phase out of a product to avoid out-of-stock situations, excess inventory, or negative environmental impacts. This involves notifying customers so they can make timely conversions and plan lifetime buys of replacement parts, as well as considering the disposition of the materials. A phase-out plan or end-of-life plan is needed for the point at which a product is no longer profitable due to lack of demand caused by obsolescence, market saturation, or supply/manufacturing issues such as rising costs, also affected by the level of competition. Such plans are started when the product is still in the decline phase so they can be rolled out to begin the product's end-of-life phase. when the product is no longer being sold. These plans need senior management support, consensus, and approval. A best practice is to standardize the process so that important details such as communications will be timely and professional. An end-of-life plan can include the following steps. Determine an end-of-sales strategy and schedule. At the appropriate time, communicate the strategy and schedule to suppliers, supply chain customers, end customers, and other stakeholders. Often, end-of-sales is a closely guarded secret until the time of official communication, because it can ruin sales of the old product. Customers will wait for the new product, and this can result in unsold inventory. The strategy may provide time to sell off remaining inventory, including in the distribution network, sell it in bulk to a third party, reuse components, recycle products, or responsibly dispose of them. Marketing may reduce prices or provide upgrade incentives and support. Determine an end-of-service strategy and schedule. This should include plans for customer service, technical support, repairs, and/or service parts, and will need to be communicated well in advance. Service could remain profitable for an extended period, or, as an investment in customer loyalty, there could be a strategic decision to provide support for the expected life of the final product sold. Service parts might be outsourced or the designs sold to other organizations. Less expensive forms of service could be substituted. Determine changes to manufacturing equipment or spaces that will no longer be needed. This can include selling the equipment, retooling it for new product introduction, NPI, or reallocating space. The product manufacturing rights and equipment could also be sold to a third party. Incorporate end-of-life plans. This includes plans for backward compatibility or the timing of the introduction of new products into NPI. Manage programs to accept products back at the end of their lives. Such programs could be based on regulatory requirements, be voluntary for sustainability, or enable recovery of rare materials such as gold. Perform risk and crisis management assessments. Contingency plans can be made for issues such as product recalls, lawsuits, or unhappy customers. Planning and inventory management professionals can provide valuable input or analysis for end-of-life plans. This includes reviewing minimum order quantity requirements, other contractual requirements, lifetime sales quantities and timing, and obsolescence timing. Products in decline can delay their end-of-life date by cutting costs, often at the expense of customer service. However, other costs might increase as suppliers also work to cut costs, since components may also be in decline. Planning and inventory management professionals therefore need to review minimum order quantity, MOQ, requirements from suppliers and for customers. Suppliers may increase their MOQ in order to cut their manufacturing and supply chain costs, and this will lower the organization's ordering cost, but increase inventory carrying costs. Suppliers could instead lower the MOQ to promote sales if customers are no longer willing to buy in bulk. The organization can also alter some OQS for customers for the same reasons. The net changes in costs will need to be analyzed for their impact on profitability. Contractual promises may have been made to suppliers to buy components or materials from suppliers or to provide products and/or support to customers for a particular period, such as for a warranty period. It is important to review exit clauses to determine if there are ways to end a product per a desired time frame. Reviewing lifetime sales quantities and timing involves estimating how many more units customers will purchase or can be convinced to purchase as a product is in decline slash nearing obsolescence. The purpose is to help determine the timing of how many more units of the old product to produce and the timing of when to stop production. If the product has a direct replacement, the replacement needs to be available at that time. This could be a new product or an existing one that could be a substitute and may be subject to increased demand. Lifetime sales quantities are also used to estimate the quantities of components, such as spare parts, that will be needed to repair the existing products in use during their remaining useful life. Often, customers need to calculate a lifetime by quantity for equipment they own. This is the quantity of spare parts that the customer will need to purchase now in order to maintain a product to the end of its life cycle. It is used when spare parts for the product are being discontinued. The timing of end of sales will not necessarily be obvious. Managers and salespersons will be invested in the status quo. Reviewing lifetime sales history can help provide information on where a product is in its life cycle. Historical sales trend data and the sales pipeline information from the sales organization can be used to help reach consensus regarding a product's end of sales point. The information can also be used for product life cycle analysis for future products that are similar. Obsolescence can be planned or market-based. Planned obsolescence is part of an NPI strategy to release a replacement product and market it as an essential upgrade. Market-based obsolescence is based on a steady or sudden drop in demand, often due to competitor actions. Reviewing obsolescence timing involves forecasting when a product should or must reach its end of sales point. It is also important to ensure that material requirements planning components are planned accordingly as part of the end of sales plan, including managing and updating effectivity dates, removing safety stocks and buffers, reducing lot sizes, forecasting amounts of excess or obsolete inventory, and making plans for their disposition.